Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, John Main, 35 riders. Let's go.
That's why I run. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going to get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why I run.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Get me busting out. Signing in the sun like it's nuts.
Why I run? I hustle hard in the sun, rain, sleep, snow. I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Maine, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas high. In the world, wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking.
That's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Get me busting now. I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts.
That's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Get me busting now. I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts.
Why? Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Maine's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, hustle hard, push, homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the stove. Okay, it's cool, cause now my ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young man can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who run it, did it.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts.
That's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Kept hustling, now I'm shining in the sun like it's nuts.
Why? I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle.
Yo, 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 what it do? Welcome to Global 14 Radio. The Cut goes down every Wednesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. Host Onyx, kicking it with you guys. Also host Golden Fleece. What's good, homie?
Ah, man. Another Wednesday. Another day to attack. Another week
okay.
To attack. The evils out there in the industry. We're going to learn some things tonight. You know what I'm saying? I'm excited about our guest that's coming up, man. So, I'm ready to handle it, man. Just got fresh out of the street. You know how we do it, man.
As always, the grind is real, okay? Twins just getting settled as well. You know, I got to do, you know, my mommy first, so that's got to be handled before the cut airs. If this is your first time tuning in tonight, this is, again, G14 Radio via the social networking site of Jermaine Dupri, global14.com. So if you haven't checked that out, especially after all the, I know you guys got to know about it, Social Def, global14.com, Social Def Anniversary, went down in February, epic. So do head over to the site and check out and see what you're missing, because you are missing out exclusives, music, news, blogs, this show, so much more. So do head over there and check out the site. And also, we always have a lot of people that tweet us. Sometimes they spam, and that's just, like, not cool. But I'm not going to go on the spam rant tonight, because I already did it last week and today on a social network. But if you do want to be heard and do want to be considered for an interview in your song for consideration, I'm going to let the homie Golden tell you guys how you can do just that. So thank you.
Most definitely. Hit us up, man. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on global14.com. You can always hit Onyx at Onyx254. She's Onyx on global14.com. I'm the glue on Twitter, THAGLUE. Hit me up, or hit me up on global14.com at Golden Fleece. So email us, DM us, speak to us, let us know, hey, I'm listening to the show, I want my song played, how can I get it on there, when do you guys play it? We'll be more than happy to give you the format, let you know the date that we're going to play it. So you'll know, have your fans call in, have your family listening. Anybody that you want, you know, to hear, you be on the internet radio that we're doing. We want to make sure that when you do put your music on there that you're getting opinions from other people beside the people that are super close to you.
Absolutely.
You want real opinions from people that are actually going to be your fans out there. So that helps a lot. So hit us up, man. We'll be more than happy to get your song on here, and let's network.
Most definitely. And tonight, you guys, we do have, like you said, very excited, me as well, two special guests coming through tonight. Dave House, if you don't know him, you will know him tonight. definitely plays a major part within the industry. There are lots of roles, and so definitely excited to have him on tonight. We get to ask him questions. You get to call in and ask questions as well. Also, Nashville rising star, R&B recording artist Star Murphy will be on the line as well. She was incredible. I actually went down to the SEA Awards, which was in Nashville this year, Southern Entertainment Awards, and she won the Artist Showcase there, and she was also doing a mixtape release party with Drummer Boy, and she has a couple of singles out, did some things as far as like with Waka Flocka and Don Tripp, so nice little buzz going there in the, you know, that region and also in that city, so nice to have her on tonight as well. She has a huge fan base, so it's pretty cool for her to come through, and, you know, I love when we get the exclusive stuff. I love when we get to hear them first, so right here tonight. On
yeah, man, and we've done that a lot. We've
yes,
done
we
that
have.
A lot. Like, I could say that, you know, I follow 3D Nati and what she's doing. And
yes.
We had her on the show. She actually was in a meeting today with Steve Rifkin. And
mm-hmm.
Steve Rifkin Instagram that just had a meeting with the next star. So
yeah.
You know she's about to do huge things if Steve is getting behind it like that. So
absolutely.
Shout out. Reading our tea out there, making moves, making it happen.
Yeah, most definitely. And like I said, it's exciting to be a part of that and to have gotten, you know, been able to support and been on the team from jump. You know, it's really cool to see it popping off for her. So I'm excited for her, excited for tonight's guest, and excited for everybody that's listening tonight. You know, make sure you do call 760-913-4119. Shout out to Spotlight, Destiny, and the Woods.
Yeah, they're going to want to call and talk. Both of the guests we got tonight, man. Especially all your independent artists out there that's doing your thing, trying to make it. Dave House has been riding with Interscope for a super amount of years. I think probably like maybe nine years in with Interscope, radio department, marketing, promotion. So he knows all about radios. He knows about BDS, media base. All you guys out there trying to get your song on radio, how to work your song on radio,
mm-hmm.
everything that you would need to know. And plus, he has his own book that's out right now that we're going to be talking about, too.
Oh,
so
I love that.
You definitely want to
Street Rules in the Office.
Street Rules in the Office.
Yes,
definitely.
I'm excited about that. I didn't read it, but the title alone was like, yes, this is what I'm talking about, right? So he will.
And he's a street dude. Like, that's what I love about House. There's no cut on him. He's straight, okay. Straight up knows what he's doing in the industry. But you know, he came up under Tupac. He's like a mm-hmm. friend of Pac. So, mm-hmm. You know, when I first met him, man, he had stories and it was just awesome. So I'm glad to have him on tonight.
No, most definitely. I'm excited to get to know him and network and build and all of that good stuff. So before we get into that, before he comes on the line, actually we do some things with the charts. Did you have anything with the mixtapes? I know normally we do the charts first, but anything that
you
came
man,
across?
Yeah, man. The boy, you know, Tyga dropped a record on the Hotel California joint.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're a Tyga fan, you know, go check that out. You know, he working hard ever since the Rack City hit for him. He's been on a lot of people's radars. You know, one of the Young Money guys is out there actually doing it himself and mm-hmm. making a name for himself, you know, dating one of the most popular strippers out there. But
who would that be? Because, you know, I'm not into
it. Oh, Black China.
Okay, I've heard the name before. Okay, I thought she was she did the movies, the porn. I didn't know that she stripped.
No, she's a stripper.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I'm sorry, guys.
And
I
also
know.
Big Crit.
Yes.
You know that I'm a big fan of Big Crit, so definitely got to spotlight the homie Big Crit. You know what I'm saying? He's doing it real big, man. Big Crit. For those who don't know about him, man, he's got a super, super heavy, I don't want to say independent.
Underground.
I'll say more underground.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a feeling he's going to be hitting mainstream pretty soon just because of his consistency and his music. But if he does stay underground, it's just great for the underground fans because he's awesome.
Absolutely.
Really like Chris.
What gives you that indication that you think he might be going major? Do you have
start seeing him doing the commercial. He did the commercial with, I think that was Ninth Wonder and him, the Dr. J Crown Royal commercial that comes on. That's him rapping on there, the Rain On. It's called Rain On.
Mm-hmm.
So you just kind of see him opening up into different type of avenues like the commercials, and he's consistent with the
mainstream
music.
With it.
He collaborates with all the mainstream artists, all the artists that a lot of people respect in hip hop. Have Ludacris, and these guys have no problem. T.I. He's making beats for cats like T.I. You know what I'm saying? Jumping on tracks with them, so he's big time when it comes to knowing who he needs to know and doing what he
Absolutely.
Has to do. So I think it's only a matter of time before he starts surfacing a little bit higher than
mm-hmm.
where he is. But Stewie Rock dropped a mixtape, Swagger Band. Stewie Rock is, I think Stewie Rock's out of the ATL, but a lot of industry people know Stewie Rock. He dropped a joint. Let's see, who else caught my eye on that mixtape?
I had to go back and listen to that Big Crit joint. And then everybody's talking about this. I don't want to get too much into it because we're getting close to the time for the guests. But I wanted to ask you, Lita, about this. What is this LL Cool J thing and Ray J? Like, these songs that are coming out that are doing
God,
the most. Are these songs that try to come out, you know, to get people talking controversial? It's very clever, by the way. So
well,
I get,
you know what? That's what I think it is. Marketing ploy.
It's just marketing all day.
LL, we got to talk about LL.
Yeah,
like
we do need
on,
to talk about
man.
Him.
That
I'm
whole LL
him.
Shit is kind of threw me off.
I'm
I don't know what that
vibe.
Really was about. But
I know.
I think I know Ray J's angle.
Oh, yeah, I definitely, I know where Ray J is coming from. I'm seeing a lot of LL lately. So I was like, wait a minute, what's this on my feed? What's this all over the blogs? But, again, I just wanted to get with you on that and the listeners, 760-913-4119. We're going to get into that in the news portion again tonight. Will be Dave House. Get familiar with it. Make sure you're going to pick up this book. I'm telling you, you're going to love it because I'm already about to dig into it. And then also Star Murphy, Rising Recording R&B artist from Nashville, Tennessee. And then real quick on the charts this week, we did have still have First Job. Nothing much has changed. They still holding down the number one rap spot, R&B hip-hop song, and then pop and radio charts is When I Was Your Man, Bruno Mars, and then Justin Timberlake still has the number one R&B hip-hop album of 2020 Experience. I did the numbers units last week. I'm not sure if any, you know, what it was this week, but that's what it is. So that's it. Coming up shortly. Anything? Any comments? I'm sorry.
Oh, nah, just, man. You know, the charts is pretty much looking pretty much looking the same. And we're gonna talk to Dave about that. Like, you know, when is a good time? When you usually see the charts fluctuate? You know, is there a specific time? A lot of people hang on their spots for, you know, a long time. Is the consistency of competition in music? Like, what's going on here? Because you rarely see people moving people out of that chart spot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh,
I think we'll go like 3 or 4 weeks on a show before we say, somebody moved that person out of the spot. They got it now. So
exactly.
There's got to be some reasons why. But we're going to dive into all of that different stuff with House, man, and get the scoop on radio and the charts and media base, BDS, all that real stuff that all you artists need to know, because it pays you.
Okay, and give you some knowledge. Learn something tonight. Real quick, 50 Cent, Snoop Dogg, Jeezy, Major Distribution. Coming up next, Dave House on G14 Radio The Cut.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm trying to move one brick, two brick, three bricks, four more. I'm tryna move 5 bricks, 10 bricks, 20 bricks, raw, core.
I smoke 1 ounce, staring at the caddy on the showroom floor, Now I'm tryna move 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, more, boy.
Run till the blood I'm gripping, go tell the trips I'm blood, nigga I be tripping, bitch I don't give a fuck, I put the K on niggas, I spray on niggas. Come through 2012, XJ on niggas. I'm an apex predator, nigga, I'm strong. Shooters on deck, I break bread and they own you. Niggas said I fell off, oh, you heard I fell off. Why the fuck would you be repeating that? Nigga, I'm a rat tycoon, make 100 mil by June. Now who the fuck said I can't rap? Jack, I'm in the dope fiend dream. I got it from broad, got the morphine memories. I've been breaking the law, I was born a founder. In the stroller with the llama, I'm violent, I kill a nigga, put that on my mama. Nah, don't tell me nothing about none of these niggas. I smoke all these niggas for this word. I'm tryna move 1 brick, 2 brick, 3 bricks, 4 more. I'm tryna move 5 bricks, 10 bricks, 20 bricks, raw, core.
I smoke 1 ounce, staring at the caddy on the showroom floor. Now I'm tryna move 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, more. Boy, I give a fuck about a fed as I jump up out of bed. 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, yeah. I'm trying to put this shit away. On the low, I need a hit a day. Think you better get away from my, oh my. I got a birdie that'll fly. From Cali to Kingston, back to NY. Snoop, Master Kush, 05 to 9. Combined, get you some pounds, and now you're flying high. Rumble with the metal with my foot to the pedal. G's with the trees and the things on my level. 5-0, you know I go hard. These fools call me Bogart. Head nigga in charge. These niggas soft as the bar. But I ain't tripping, I'm just lifting my cheese. Cause if you really want the bomb, come and fuck with your G's. I got it. Always chill, always real. Had that, say that, my nigga, get that. You hear that?
I'm trying to move 1 brick, 2 brick, 3 bricks, 4 more.
Real talk.
I'm trying to move 5 bricks, 10 bricks, 20 bricks, 4
Then do it. Yeah.
I smoke 1 ounce, staring at the caddy on the showroom floor.
New the world, motherfucker.
Now I'm trying to move 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, more.
Five AM in the kitchen, nigga, I'm coughing. Bag full of white eight balls, I'm going golfing. The homie got killed last night, bought him a coffin. Retaliated the same night, made him a dolphin. Guess that's the life of a yay flipper. Top of make your ass get naked just like a stripper. Got cameras for the jackets, home invaders, man. Them niggas coming all black like they Raiders fans. All I saw growing up is kilos and gang bangers. Then the homie taught me to whip, game changer. Now I'm breaking down birds on the coffee table. Yeah, and have them bitches sold before they off the table. Got a little nigga holding my hair.
5 bricks, 10 bricks, 20 bricks, four.
I smoke 1 ounce, staring at the caddy on the showroom floor. Now I'm trying to move 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds more.
Yeah, you know what it is. Shit crippin' cousin, 5-0. Anytime you need that motherfuckin' smoke, you know I got it, cuz. You need 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 20 pounds, whatever you need, you know I got it. And if them niggas out there in the NY need it, yo, my connect so I can hook them niggas up with that tongue. Ooh-wee. I'm trying to move this shit, cuz. For real, though. I got too much of this shit on me.
T14 Ready to Cut live and back with the special guest Dave House. And on the line, how are you?
I'm doing good. And yourself?
Good. Golden's on the line as well.
Yes, the homie House. How you doing, big brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here.
Man, we're very happy to have you here, man. I've been talking to my host Onyx about you for a while, man. We always talk about radio, the charts, inner workings of the music industry, different departments and record labels. And, you know, I said, there's one guy we got to get on the show, man, because he knows the ins and outs of all those things, and that's Dave House. So we very happy to have you, very happy to be able to talk to you about what you've been doing in the industry and also your new book that you have out, Street Rules in the Office, which we will dive into, man. So, you ready to get into it, brother?
Oh, yes, sir. Let's get it.
Excellent. So, just for our audience, you know what I'm saying, I wanted to give them a little background about you. Like I said, you've been in the industry for a while, and you actually started interning at Jive. Could you give us just a little background of Dave House and how he got into the industry and basically what he did when he first came into the industry?
Okay. Well, got into the industry, you know, right after college. How I like to say it, I came into the industry as a volunteer, and then from a volunteer, then became an intern, and then eventually launched off my career as an executive assistant and then national director of radio promotions over at Interscope. I came in first volunteering at the Urban World Film Festival back in 2002, and the projects, in 2001, and the projects that we were working on was Chris Tucker's movie. I think it was Money, him and Jackie Chan. The Chris Tucker, Jackie Chan movie was working on that.
Rush Hour.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what it was, Rush Hour there. And then from there, I ended up interning over at Jive Records, and we had the Mystical Tarantula Project, the Britney Spears Crossroads movie, R. Kelly Chocolate Factory. And then from there, that's when I was actually staying in Queens at the time, and I was friends with the friend that was with Tony Ayo. And this is around the time when 50 Cent is there with Shady. And, you know, everybody went over to Interscope for the Shady Records at the time. So we it was just like a get in where you fit in type of situation. So I was there just helping out the movement. And then I just became a part of the Interscope family via Shady Records and just never left and ended up making a career out of the whole situation. How I ended up at, like, and the person that actually gave me my first shot at Interscope was someone who worked in the international publicity department. I'm sorry, the crossover publicity department, and her projects were Peter Gabriel and and the Eve Project, because at that time she pretty much crossed over with that record with Gwen Stefani. And then from there, I ended up working with Steve Stout during his transition from from Interscope into his new company, and that's the time when he had an unknown company called Carol's Daughter that and he said he was leaving the music business to promote this Carol's Daughter product, and I thought he was crazy because I was seeing so much, like, I was getting my first real exposure in the music industry through 50 and Eminem, and he's over here saying that he's going to leave the music business to sell fragrance and stuff called Carol's Daughter.
Natural products.
And Carol's Daughter, she used to, like, as the person from Carol's Daughter, she used to bring in all this fragrance and all this stuff. We used to have, I probably still have some of the stuff in my mama's basement that they used to give us or whatever. And I just didn't understand it at that time because I was green coming into the music industry. And then green with the artist at the time with 50 Cent, I just couldn't understand how you would leave the music business at this time. But now I can see why. In the making. So that's how that came about. And as you can see, Carol's Daughter is now a household name now, but I remember when it was totally unknown and still couldn't.
Didn't Jay-Z invest in that as well?
I'm sorry?
Didn't Jay-Z invest in Carol's Daughter as well?
I'm glad you mentioned that because at the time, what was also stunning about it when I was working with Steve Stout was Jay-Z used to call the office. I used to answer the phone, and Jay-Z used to call the office. And Nas was just leaving the office. And this was around the time when Ether was just still, bubbling in the streets. So I was really taken, wow. Matter of fact, when Nas did his, if you ever go on YouTube and see Nas at Webster Hall when he performed Ether, I remember that very day when Nas and DMC came in to the office that day, and after they left, Jay-Z called. And I was just saying, man, this guy's playing with fire here. But I remember Steve Stout used to walk up and down in the office saying how he's going to put Nas and Jay-Z on the front cover of a magazine. He don't know which one it is, but he's going to make sure he put them on the front cover of a magazine. And like 5 years later, they both were on the front cover of the Vibe.
I'm telling you, man, the stories of how this stuff unfolds, and it's amazing that you are a part of that because all these people, for our audience, if you don't know who Steve Stout is, this guy's a guru in connecting hip-hop artists to corporations and brands and just, amazing business deals that he's doing for artists out there. And, Dave has had a chance to work with him, 50 Cent, Eminem. So these stories that you're hearing is how things are coming about. And then now, like you mentioned, Carol's Daughter, that is huge. I can't go into any black household that I know and they don't got something of Carol's Daughter in that piece. You know what I'm saying? And just to hear that was even taking place back then just lets you know the work and the growth that people put in to get projects to a certain place, whether it's music, whether it's fragrance, whatever. It all starts from somewhere.
Absolutely.
Well, I definitely want to get into a little bit of your time with Interscope because I remember, when I met you, I love this story, man, because me and my boy Anthony, shout out Anthony Machant, but we picked House up, I think, from the airport. And at the time, you had to pick which single you guys should come out with or should put something behind. And you had the CD of everybody. Was it on Interscope or was it Jive at the time? I remember
it was Interscope. It was Interscope, yeah, definitely.
It was Interscope. I remember Snoop had a joint on there. Pusha T, matter of fact, it was the Clips at the time, had a joint on there. Cypress Hill, if I'm not mistaken. Like, I remember like it was yesterday because when I heard that Rich Boy joint, I remember turning back to you and being like, that's the one right there, to throw them D's. Like, that song just took over the whole car, man. I remember that. And
I remember that day. Wow, you have a great memory. I remember it. Now as you mention it, I remember you guys picking me up from the airport. We had a we had the CD single of a bunch of priorities on there, and throw some Beavers on that CD single there, and eventually that became a hit record. And you and Ant, shout out to Ant OG there. He, I mean, you guys kept playing that record back to back to back to back. and he was like, no, this record's a hit, like, please. And eventually, you know, we got behind that record, pushed that record, and made Rich Boy a star from that record. So you personally seen firsthand, like, how it comes from the ground up, literally.
Right.
The day before that day, you picked me up from the airport. You never knew who Rich Boy was, but now you can see, you know, you can ask anybody, name a Rich Boy song, and the first thing they'll say is Throw Some D's. And the memory that you have with that record when you hear it, when you picked up, you picked me up when you met me for the first time and picked me up from the airport, and we was playing this unknown record, but it was just so hot. And, you know, we was just, that was like the summer, 2005, 2006?
That was, 2006, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that.
You know what's
so
crazy? It's basically like you said, I got the sort of evolution of it, because I didn't know who Rich Boy was at all. Everybody else on that CD I was familiar with. And I remember you saying, you know, this is a new artist working with Polo the Don. I was familiar with Polo. And it was just awesome to start seeing that record popped. I remember when I first saw the video, I reverted back to the memory in the car. So, you know, I just, that song right there, I did get to see it from the ground up. I want to thank you for even, you know what I'm saying, taking the input, because you was like, all right, I'm going to let people know that this is the one. But I know it wasn't me that did that, but at the same time, you saw how it resonated with me, and, you know, that shit was just the joint right there. So shout out Rich Boy and, you know, his whole success with that movement. But I know you've been super influential in these companies behind the scenes. A lot of our audience, they're artists that want to get into the music business. They're people that want to start marketing promotion companies. Get into some of your daily routine that you had to do with your tenure at Interscope.
The first thing I do is, you know, we have all our priorities. We check the media base, see where media bases is the radio monitor, where they monitor all the radio stations that play your record. BDS is, of course, another radio monitor broadcast networking system that anytime your record is played on the radio, it detects and it appears on the chart. And that's what the record labels use as a standard to measure success or digress for exposure of an artist. So I check the media base, see where we can see where we need more awareness or more airplay. Also, looking at seeing what activity we could do in that particular market that could influence more airplay and things of that nature.
Such as having the artists go and perform there? Is that one of the things like?
We'll put it like this. You remember the record from Noriega and the Neptunes called Super Thug?
Yep.
He in a line, he says, I go where my sound scan ain't tough. So when they say, when I say Nori, it ain't that rough. That one,
right.
That line is a big music industry lesson. And it's going to go into another subject with what you referenced about sound scan and stuff like that. But what that line means is that Nori wants to know where his name is not known at and wherever he's weak at, so he could go into that market and affect change. So
right.
Meaning that if I'm not getting played in Orlando, what do I got to do in Orlando to affect the change? So when I leave the market, 3 or 4 weeks later after I leave the market, they're still saying my name.
Right.
And that's what that line means. And that now goes into the whole sound scan situation to make you understand sound scan better. where a lot of people think that it's all about the first week sales, and it's not. SoundScan is not a race at all. Actually, you want your numbers to be low. And the reason why you want your numbers to be low is because you want to go where your sound scan ain't tough. So when you go into that market, you could affect change. An artist, all an artist wants to do is perform their work in front of people, sell merchandise, get show money, probably do some verses for another artist in the region or what have you, probably get money off that too. If you go there and you're popular or whatever, there's nothing to do because everything is expected. You're not working because everything is given.
Right.
So if you go there and you're introducing yourself as an artist, as a new artist, you have work to do. And an artist can't wait to work. An artist can't wait to perform. And with an audience, like I say it in meetings, audience, they're pumped. And what I mean by punk, I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean it in a way of an audience will appreciate or can give appreciation to anybody that has the balls to jump up on stage and perform their art.
Right.
And they'll give you that sense of respect. So if you're an artist and you know how to do this because you're big in Charlotte or you're big in Raleigh, but now you're coming down to Orlando to do the same thing that you did in Raleigh and Charlotte, then, and you're creating new fans, you're making new fans, that's all an artist wants to do. But when you're right. already big and you sell millions of copies first week, there's nothing for you to do. You have to now increase your standard, you know? So
Right. So I
that's
see
why,
what you're saying. That makes sense.
So that's why... When you see an artist and a lot of people say, oh, his album flopped because he only sold 96,000 or 50,000 first week. No, he didn't flop. You know, first of all, you don't know how much he shipped. So, you know, that takes you out of any conversation about sales anyway, because you have to know how much he shipped to understand where the flop factor coming from.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
right, but how much you put out there.
Yeah, you don't know how much you ship, then you can't say that, okay, the flop factor. And then with all the retail stores closing, you know, where the only stores that you have is Target, Walmart, and Kmart and things of that nature, then, you know, it's only limited to how much you actually ship. So that's why the numbers are getting lower. Because you're shipping your CD to the same place Kellogg ships a box of cornflakes.
Right.
So when you go into Walmart, what's the first thing you see in Walmart? A rack of bananas.
Right. Yep. Big produce section.
Right. Or you see the pharmacy. You know? And you have to walk all the way to the back to go to the music section.
Right.
And then when you're at the music section, you're still jaded by the video game section. Or you're jaded by the TVs that's showing
the big
ESPN
TVs
or,
in the back.
Yeah.
Right.
Or showing sports highlights. You know, by the time you walk into Walmart, and, you know, I'm black and... You always walk in somewhere and you always buy more stuff or buy stuff that you ain't intend to buy. And then you forgot
they kill
what you
me
actually
with
came
that
into
shit.
The store
I'm
for.
Always, I'm a victim. I'm a victim.
Yeah,
bro.
And you forgot what you actually came into the store for. I came to the store to buy the Chris Brown new CD, but I ended up buying bananas, a box of cornflakes, you know, or whatever the case may
so
be.
So let me understand something. Are you kind of saying that the lack of how we used to have the Wiz and how we had Virgin Record Stores. Is this affecting sales as far as music is concerned because we just don't have a store that is just for music anymore?
Certainly. Because
right.
your music's competition is everything else that you actually need to survive, period. Versus actually going into the store to actually buy music itself.
You got to fight the necessities with the wants. You may want the CD, but you need a toothbrush.
Yeah, exactly. And you're in competition with all of that. You're in competition with Pampers, diapers, kitchenware, toilet paper, all that other stuff that you need, and then you have a CD. So now, but then you ask the question, well, okay, but why does Taylor Swift or Adele or Justin Bieber sell records? Well, let me tell you something. Now you get into a question of product placement. When the Adele CD was placed right next to Bubble Yum when you go to Walmart.
Right in the front.
Exactly. Right as you at the cash register.
And I have seen it there, so I know what you're talking about.
So if Adele selling CDs right there next to Bubble Yum, then guess what? You know, her CD isn't in the music aisle. Her CD is in the where they sell gum and Snicker bars and stuff like that.
Right by the Taylor register Swift, where you got to check
right
out.
Right by the register. Or Taylor Swift, her POP, point of purchase, is right there next to women's wear or kitchenware.
Bro, you know what's so crazy about it? We always have this discussion, and I always throw in just my opinion that urban music, it has a certain level of where people like it but don't like it enough to purchase it simply because the artists are stunting on you for like damn near the whole year and then ask you to pull $9.99 or $10.99 out your pocket to buy it. But other than that, I see exactly what you're talking about because I remember ordering a pizza from Papa John's and the recording before I even got to a live person was telling me to purchase the Taylor Swift album.
There it is. There it is. That's product placement.
That's crazy.
So Justin Bieber, his album was being sold in Barnes & Noble when they was doing the book tour. And he was also cross-promoting his album with the Believe to Read or something kind of promotion. Sade, you could buy her CD at Cold Stone or any little lounges and stuff like that. And what will hurt hip-hop is the fact that a lot of these retail don't want to be responsible for carrying something that carries the parental advisory sticker on the product.
Right. That's something you want to hide. And then if you want to go there to specifically get that, then, hey, we have it here, but we're not going to put it in your face.
Right. They'll probably put it way in the back, somewhere where you can't find it, and by the time you look at it, you know, forgot that you actually came to the store to get that particular CD. So, with that being said, music has now become a niche-based market, meaning that artists are more reluctant to talk to fans directly than collectively. Meaning that that artist, you have to represent the very lifestyle of your fan base and be an ambassador to the lifestyle of your fan base.
Right.
And that's what's going to make the difference between those who actually win and those who, who will come out and, quote-unquote, flop. So.
No, I understand
that
what you're saying
sense.
Completely.
And, makes that general sense. So this way, now you have an understanding of why, a better understanding of sound scan and a better understanding of, radio airplay and things of that nature.
No, we appreciate the knowledge so much, man, because that's what our audience, that's what they tune in to learn. We're all sponges and we're trying to learn every day. Basically, I want this interview for this reason alone because a lot of artists, they want their songs out there, but they don't know the importance of radio. I kind of wanted to also get into radio budgets and just so people understand, like, how much do labels spend to drive a single into your head, or just like get a song played on the radio over and over again?
It really depends. I've seen budgets of $150,000 go down the drain, you know, because we couldn't make a certain artist a star, you know, or what have you. Sometimes the budget just does, you know. It really depends, you know. You definitely need a radio budget to compete out there in the market. And it's not to say a payola or anything. It's more or less to say to actually build the story behind your record, you know. And it goes back to what I was saying about Noriega when he said, I go where my sound scan ain't tough. You still have to go into the market and affect some sort of change when you go into the market so you could give a reason why a DJ should be playing your record, or a reason why a DJ should be influenced, you know, inspired to play your record, so what have you. And it goes beyond money. At the end of the day, radio is a business. They have to keep their lights on. So sometimes it's a matter of buying, buying like what they call, buying certain airtime. You run certain commercials. You may want to sponsor a commercial or something like that, you know, or sponsor a show. This segment of the show was brought to you by Burger King, or brought to you by Interscope Records, or whatever record label at the time, you know, and this is their priority. So at the end of the day, there still needs to be an initiative as to why somebody should play your record. No matter how good your record is, you have to understand that even Michael Jackson Thriller had a budget.
Right.
You know, people, you know, no matter how talented you are, you still have to have a budget. You still have to move. And what I find with a lot of artists is that they only see what's in front of them and not what's around them. That's one of the rules in Street Rules in the Office. Balance what's in front of you than what's around you, in my book. What's in front of you is the fact that you see stardom, or if you see the fame. That's what's in front of you. But what's around you is the work that you had to get to that point. You know,
right.
A lot of people don't see that. They just see their misunderstanding of the music business is what makes a lot of artists fail. Is their misunderstanding of the music business. They think some people think they could buy their way into the business, you know, or whatever, you know, because they have, you know, wide budgets, they think they could buy their way into the music business. But the music business is a predetermined business where you don't know how things are going to shuffle. At the end of the day, you're in the business of making people like you. And if somebody don't like you, then
it don't matter how much money you throw at them. It's not
it don't matter how much money you throw about it. You know, so now an artist is like he promotes himself like how a movie promotes the box office promotes a movie, and they're trying to get that first week. You know, a box office film always tries to get that first week, so they promote for 2 weeks prior to the release of the film. And then they drop the film, and then you hear about how much the film made the first week. And then whatever the film made the first week is you're riding off that energy. And now the music business is adopting the movie pattern, whereas you're riding off a certain energy of what you did the first week. So now to the point where the conversation is not even about how good your album is. The conversation is more about how much that person did the first week.
Hey, man, that's exactly what it is. And now when we read the charts and, you know, things of that nature on the show, we see that people are staying at the charts for 3 to 4 weeks. They're not getting moved off. And then somebody else comes, their song finally tops that person's on the chart. But no, the conversation is definitely about how much will this person sell the first week, what is their album going to do, and they are rolling them out like that, like you said, movie trailers. I'm actually seeing trailers, like Fabulous and Chris Brown is releasing a song right now, and there's a trailer for that song, like, and, you know, there's vehicles like WorldStar, Vlad TV, and all these, you know, sites that you put videos on that are adapting these trailers, like, hey, look out for this single. And I was pretty shocked, like, wow, this looks like it could be an actual movie that Fabulous is in. I'm like, so what you're saying is, like, making tons of sense because I'm seeing it right in front of my face.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely want to get into the book and just how you decided to write a book, Street Rules in the Office. I'll tell a quick story, then I want to bring Onyx on to talk about, you know, ask you more questions about why you decided to write a book, the contents in the book. But I remember hanging out with you in Miami, and we was partying. We were tired from something. Like, well, at least I was tired and A was tired, but like 5 in the morning, you was down in the gym, like getting ready to get your day started. And I remember turning to A, and I was like, yeah, this dude house, man. This dude is like a machine, but he was like, bro, this cat. He lives by certain rules that, you know what I'm saying, you got to be able to keep up with him. I'm like, damn, man, I gotta step my hustle up because I'm exhausted running around with house. But I also wanted to touch on a little bit of, you know, I know you're an original outlaw, and, you know, Tupac is one of, you know, your peoples. We actually had the outlaws on the show prior, but those stories were fascinating, too. I think we need to bring you back on for another show to even dive into that, because that's all fascinating. But the book stuff, definitely, I would love our audience to hear how you transitioned from, you know, learning all this stuff in the industry, then deciding to write a book, and lessons about the book game. I remember talking to you one day, and you were like, yo, this game is damn near as cutthroat as the music business. So we want to get into that with you. So I want to bring Onyx back on to start discussing the book with you. Onyx, you there?
I am sitting here gaining knowledge and agreeing and, you know, and all of that. It's so cool. And it's just, I love that you're on to kind of, like, validate and then to also further educate us on the process of, like, the radio. And I always say, by advertisements, you know, they got to make their money, too. So I love to hear you talk about that. And the product placement was like light bulb, you know.
Right,
yeah. So, like he said, like Gordon said, you wrote Street Rules in the Office. Tell us a little bit about how that book came about. Have you always planned to go into writing a book, or was this something that kind of just, say, fell in your lap?
Well, my initial interest in coming into the music business was I was an artist myself. You know, I used to rap. You know, and I just had only had a natural love for writing. Before I even started writing raps, I just used to write stories for my teachers. Used to, you know, write in a journal. My teachers would literally have to give me a journal, and I used to write stories and give them to my teacher, or what have you. And I took the title Street Rules in the Office came from a slick Prodigy from Mobb Deep line in the record It's Mine featuring Nas, when he says, apply street rules to the office, make millions off of, you know, he said that line there, and I took that line, I said, street rules in the office, that's pretty much what I see in the business, and I think that I could translate that title into a book and make rules from the music business, or rules that need to be applied in the music business, that has a similar comparison to the streets. So I took certain scenarios that are affected and that are from the streets and translate it into how you would use it in the music business, from trusting certain people to driving at a traffic light. One example. Again, rule 4, balancing what's in front of you and what's around you. I use the analogy of trying to beat the yellow light. Now, we're on the streets. You're in your car. When you're driving and you beat the yellow light, you have two options when you see a yellow light. Either you beat it or you slow down and stop and wait for the red light. the person who beats the light is a person that's going to obviously get to their destination quicker, you know. He'll go where he got to go, but, of course, he stepped on his gas pedal a little bit to get and beat the light. And that person is conscious of only what's in front of him. Still nothing wrong with that, but he's conscious of what's in front of him, and what's in front of him is the yellow light. The person that slows down when he sees the yellow light is a person that's conscious of what's around him, because he'll be relieved to see to find out that once he stops at the yellow light and then waits for it to turn red, that there was a cop hiding behind the bushes.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right,
so
absolutely.
So being conscious of what's in front of you and what's around you, and that's the music business. So now how does that analogy compare to the music business is what's in front of you is the BET Awards in Atlanta. What's in front of you is the stars and all the people that's there. So you have friends that will tell you they're going to Atlanta for the BET Awards. What's around you is what is their business purpose for going to the BET Awards?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Are you making any money? Who are you spending your personal funds to finance your trip to the BET Awards, or is there a marketing budget that's paying for you to be down there at the BET Awards? Are you making money?
Right.
You know, are you going to the BET Awards? Is it an investment? You know. And if it is an investment, who are you networking with when you're down there?
Absolutely.
You know, so that's what's around you. Like I said, so and you find a lot of artists that say, oh, we flying to L.A. for the BET Awards, or we're flying to L.A. for the Grammy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
But they have no business purpose as to why they're really going there.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going there so their friends could say that, oh, such and such went to the L.A. for the BET Awards?
Right.
And they spent all this money to go to the BET Awards.
Exactly.
And how I grew up in the hood where if everybody that's in the business you're in is in one market doing one thing, that means all the fiends is out here in the projects looking for somebody to serve them.
Mm-hmm.
So who's in the market? Who's in the market doing what we're supposed to be doing?
Okay.
And I could have spent half the money that you would have spent, because you got to spend money on flight, hotel, food, rental car alone, and then money to splurge.
Right.
When you could have took half of that and made a marketing budget and did something right in your own neighborhood. So that's being conscious of what's in front of you and being conscious of what's around you, and that's what a lot of people lack coming into the music business, because they only see what's in front of them. They don't see the cop hiding behind the bushes.
Mhm. Absolutely. Yeah. I love the breakdown that you gave, and I'm so glad we got a scoop out the book. And I haven't something else to ask you. I think it may be in your book as well. I haven't read it yet. And just to kind of piggyback off what you said, we say the same thing. It's like, why are you going to South by Southwest? You know what I'm saying? With 5,000 CDs, everybody got 5,000. Pressing up 2,000 CDs, we're doing all this for this one day. And, you know, I'm walking down the streets and the CDs is all on the ground, you know. Product just gone to waste. And no paper, clear-cut budget plan, like you said, no purpose, just going to get Instagram likes and Facebook likes and tweeting just for the looks. So, like you said, are you going with a purpose? What is this? If it's fine, if you have it to blow, do your thing. I don't have it like that.
Mm-hmm,
I got a plan and budget.
Mm-hmm. Well, now put it like this: the major labels don't even have it like that anymore.
Okay.
and they are sitting on money. Well, you know, me being, you know, with the Interscope background, they're sitting on money from Death Row, and they still don't, you know, are watching their budget.
Okay.
Because we've been through the days of, you know, the endless bottomless pit budgets and stuff like that. And eventually it had to stop.
That's
they had to cease it because if we continue splurging like this, we're going to end up, these companies going to run bankrupt. So before we get to that level, we're going to cut down how much you spend when you go out on the road. We're going to limit how much you go on the road, and we're going to watch you like a hawk when you're on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And if the major labels have adopted a certain discipline, you have artists that are not adopting that same discipline. They're doing what we was doing in 2006 when I had the Rich Boy record, introducing Rich Boy.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. It's so dope to hear you say this. I love that insight. Thank you for making me feel better about myself. I'm like, I don't have the money to do, I'll be turning stuff down real quick. They know. I'll be like, nope. Bills, family, like, I just don't have it. But you mentioned something I read somewhere about the yes man and the hater. And
right.
You talked about how we give it up to the haters and big ups to the haters in the hip-hop community, and how we should also say, okay, well, let's acknowledge the yes man. Can you kind of let the audience know what you meant by that and what I'm referencing to?
Yeah, I wrote an article once. This is a regular. Those articles I are like what I call, like, those are my summaries, a.k.a. like my mixtapes that led to, of course, the release of my book. And
right.
One of my articles was the yes man versus the hater, and how we're giving it up to a lot of the haters, but the yes man is equally as dangerous as the hater. The yes man won't give you the best advice. Sometimes the yes man is guaranteed to leave you once things go sour.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the yes man is the person who is here based off of your success and not based off of, you know, who you are, like, as a friend, or giving you the best advice, or they will lead you in the wrong, they will advise you in the wrong direction and tell you something that's good for your benefit, just so they can say that they're hanging with you. So here you have haters, or whatever the case, but then you have somebody who's right there by your side, edging you on, telling you you're doing everything right, but the very thing that you're doing may not be for your benefit. And I've seen artists that before my eyes deteriorate because they had too many yes men around them, or too many people
mm-hmm.
that were scared to tell them
mm-hmm.
No, or tell them that, yo, you're messing up. Or,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know artists that, like, you know, one day we were at a hotel, and one named artist who was down with G-Unit at one time but left a long time ago publicly, and we were supposed to do a radio run or whatever. We were supposed to go to radio, and we told who is supposed to be road manager, like, okay, we got to go. Go get him. Go wake him up. And, oh, I'm not waking him up. Why are you not waking him up? We got to go. Like, that's your man. I'm not waking him up. So we have to go in there and wake him up or whatever. And I'm like, well, what are you here for if you're not here to tell him what he got to go do?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know? And mm-hmm. Or the yes man is the man who will, like, keep bringing you weed. Keep bringing you weed, or keep bringing you your drugs, or, you know, or satisfying your vices. Keep bringing you girls and whatever the case may be. And that may be deteriorating your career. You may be losing focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So the yes man is equally as dangerous as the hater.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to watch out for who's the yes man in your clique. Who's the guy that's supportive to the point where he's really destroying
you. Mm-hmm.
You have to watch out for those.
See, that's what's up. I'm so glad that you shared that. And Google is amazing. I could sit here and ask you so much, and it's just really nice to be able to soak in all this knowledge and get this from you. Tell us where we can get your book right now and how we can contact you via social networks.
Street Rules and Law is available on Amazon.com. You can just dial in, you know, punch in Street Rules in the Office, everything spelled correctly, by Dave House. It's on Amazon.com right now. You can follow me on Twitter at Dave House, WHW, everything spelled correctly, or at WHW Music Group, which is my company, Who's House Worldwide. That's what WHW stands for. And Who's House Worldwide is my project management, music marketing, and promotions company, in which I align artists with brands and identify their niche market. and make their campaigns make sense. Like, let me make your campaign make sense. Because I see a lot of people that rap like Raekwon that's trying to get Rihanna fans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not happening, you know.
Right.
And a lot of people who are into mass marketing versus niche marketing. And the thing is that music has become a niche-based market. It's not a mass market. Mm-hmm. And I've seen artists who's been going at it for years that I could identify their niche and change their career around in one shot. But they're not ready for what it is that they're actually in the music business for. And a lot of people, and because they're not ready for what it is they're in the music business for, they're really, you know, living their second childhood in this music business. So the music business has become a big playground, a big tower of Babel, where everybody is speaking, you know, the same language. But in reality, because of the internet and because of the access of distribution to the common fan, you know, everybody's really speaking a different language now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but hip hop has now become, you know, some sort of like a sideshow. You know, where you know, with reality shows and things of that nature, and it's becoming a place where the over 30-year-old can experience their senior year in high school again.
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we definitely have to have you come back. It's just not enough time to sit here and, I mean, ask you things that and just engage with you and discuss with you, because I swear, I feel like, I'm like, okay, so I was right. I know a little something. I'm just like, okay, yes, he said it. And the internet and the markets, not knowing your markets and things like that. So you specialize in that. Artist that's listening, because I know that you guys are. They're tweeting Dave right now. They're tweeting and retweeting. The board is full. They're listening in, and they've been listening during this entire course of the interview. So you guys, I want to encourage you to make sure you do follow Dave House. Follow Edgy14 Radio. You can see his Twitter name on there as well, and check out what he has going on and get the book, Street Rules in Your Office, because as you can see, this is a real deal. Stop investing your money into the scams and everything else out there, and if you're going to put the money out there and you really are serious about progressing in your career, take the time out to get the knowledge and invest in someone who knows what they're doing and can direct you down the right path. And, you know, we always tell the audience, Dave, that we know there's no one way into the industry, no one right way, and we know that you're going to come, you know, hit those bumps, but if we can help navigate around that, then, you know, services like what you provide would be the best route for them. So you guys, make sure you check it out. I'm telling you.
You got to definitely check it out. You know, Dave House, since he's been writing, he used to write articles for a site called Urban Connection. I used to read them all the time, and, you know, I used to just apply stuff that I read, you know what I'm saying, to what I'm doing out here and, you know, trying to, like you said, go around those speed bumps. If I don't got to go over them, I want to go around them. And, you know, fortunately, I've had people around me that have been able to help from even talking to Dave, the times I met him and reading his articles and things of that nature. So if you're an artist out there, you're trying to get things jumping, you know, save that money you was going to spend going to the award show to stunt and say you was there. And if you got a little budget, you may want to sit down with a brother like Dave and definitely get the career on track, get the plan in place, so maybe you could be actually performing at the BET Awards next year instead of just playing around on Instagram out there.
Absolutely.
So we definitely want to thank you for coming, House, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you. I'm going to be reaching out to you soon, man. I got some things that I definitely want to talk to you about. And we definitely going to have you back on the show to, you know, dive into all the other things. So hopefully you'll come back on and chat with us, brother.
Oh, definitely, man. Thank you for having me here.
I appreciate it, man. Dave House on the cut tonight. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he was so dope. And thank you so much, Dave. And you guys, again, Street Rules in the Office. You know I'm loving that title, right?
Thank you.
You know
title is just shit.
You know I rock with that. I hate to just put it out there, but hey, I know a lot of people that can get a hold of that book and really make it happen for themselves in any field. I feel like, you know, the things that Dave talked about tonight were things you can apply to, like he said, anything, like how he gave the street light scenario or analogy and then applied it to music. If you're in business or just an entrepreneur, just like he said, he came in as a volunteer. He wants to call it, came in and did the intern work, was there supporting the movement for the right reasons, putting in the groundwork, putting in the footwork. He was an artist. He didn't come in throwing his CD at everybody, check me out, listen, do this, do that. You know, he came in and did what he had to do, and now here he is. So it's just amazing. I love hearing about the, you know, how they got there, where they were, and it's even more special that he was an artist and he, you know, chose to say, okay, hey, I'm going to do this route and this. So I just like that. I just really respect his grind and salute all day.
Oh, definitely awesome. From that to writing a book and having it published.
Yeah, he's dope.
It's just a lot of dope things and a lot of dope progression that, you know, people should look forward to. Like, this is the type of career you want to have when you get in the game. Just progression, you know what I'm saying? It's not like
anything's
happening. You know, there's always bumps in the road, but once you continue to go up and strive and complete new projects and different goals, it just feels good. So shout out to him for releasing that book. That was real dope.
Yes, it was. It was. Coming up next. I'm all zoned out. I'm all zoned out. It's crazy. But let me get back focused. Tonight, also on the cut, we have another special guest, and it is Star Murphy, and she will be on the line shortly. However, let's take a moment to dive into a little bit of the news real quick. Homie, did you have anything to breathe those topics?
Oh man, two topics that kind of got me was the Trick Daddy and Wayne incident. Apparently, you know, Lil Wayne has been having, you know, different things to say about Miami Heat. You know, a lot of Miami people not feeling that. Pitbull came back with a response like, "Look, we welcomed you in our city. Now you shitting on our city. We ain't gonna have that." Well, apparently, Trick Daddy and his camp walked up in the King of Diamonds, and Lil Wayne was in there and reportedly flicked a cigarette in his face and told him, you got to get out of here, right? Yeah, you got to bounce. You got to leave now.
Wayne
was escorted out of King of Diamonds that night after that. So.
Hold up. The NBA peeps came through? The NBA players, you said they came through. Say it again so I don't get confused.
Trick Daddy, you know, we all know is a heavy, heavy dude out in Miami.
Yes.
He's been doing his thing. Great albums. I was a huge Trick Daddy fan when he was dropping music. Trick is embedded in Dade County, a real one out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Before you heard of Trick, he was in prison. You know what I'm saying? Like, fresh out of jail into your household. So there's really no cut on Trick. And, you know, a lot of people are not feeling Wayne. They say that he disrespects Miami and, you know, especially after the thing with the Miami Heat, them having to kick him out of the game and, you know, him telling people that he fucked Chris Bosh's wife and, you know, just a lot of Miami people that originate from there aren't feeling that, you know, we let you in, we embraced you, and it seems like you're kind of shitting on us and doing whatever you want. Well, that can't go down anymore. And Pitbull released a song, and he told Wayne, "Look, man, I'm from here, born and raised. I can't let you come out here and disrespect the city." Well, apparently Wayne was at King of Diamonds, which is a famous strip club out in Miami, and it goes down out in KOD. And Trick Daddy and his people walked in there, seen him, rolled up on him, flicked a cigarette in his face or at his face, something of that nature, and basically told him, "You got to leave."
Mm-hmm.
And they escorted him up out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much the gist of the the story right now. It's not a full story, but that's pretty much everybody's running with it because it's like, okay, you know, these cats that's originally from down there, they ain't feeling this movement no more. So we'll see how that unfolds.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what it do. I mean, Wayne being in the news now is kind of like how it felt when Nicki Minaj and Lil' Kim was in the news every week. It's just like, okay, he's here again. And then Ross, of course, he loves to be in the news, so it's just like, here they go.
Yeah, so that's, you know, that's another huge story. One of my favorite records that's out right now. I've always loved Rocco. I think when Rocco drops records,
dope.
They're always like hit records. Always love that dude's records. But the, you know, you ain't even know record. You know, Ross had the lyric on there where he's talking about he slipped the Molly in the girl's drink. She ain't even know it. Took her home and enjoyed that. She ain't even know it.
Yeah.
So basically, you know, even though without saying the word rape, he is implying that he, you know, raped a girl by drugging her.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, women's activist groups, you know, they're calling for his head. A lot of people not feeling that. Feeling that it was not appropriate to even insinuate that you would do that to a young lady, and they want him dropped from Reebok's campaign. They don't think that they should have a sponsor that condones rape.
Mm-hmm.
And mounting pressure had basically led to Rocco having to take Ross off of the record because the record is growing so big. Rocco can't really afford all this negative press and eventually somebody shutting down the record completely. So, you know, I think it was yesterday he had an interview where he said he's going to have to, you know, take Ross off the record. You know, he will definitely always be on the original. You know, everybody knows he was on there, period. Can't take that away from him, but since this record is growing so much, I have to make a business executive decision.
Absolutely.
And I have to remove him from the record.
Absolutely. And is that how he said it?
That is how he said it.
Absolutely. I love it.
Because he's an executive. I don't think a lot of people know that Rocco is responsible for Future and, you know, his A1 record label. So basically he is an executive first and foremost. And then he just drops record when he wants to, so he had to put on his executive hat and remove Ross.
And then do his thing. I mean, I definitely think it was a wise decision. Not that I had the final say, but it was. It was in the best interest. And I wonder what Ross gets too comfortable with just thinking he can do whatever he wants to do is what it comes down to, and that it's going to just slide. You know, we let him slide with a lot of things. You know, we do.
Yeah, I mean,
and
you know, what's funny about that is everybody has the same sentiment that you just said.
Yeah.
People are thinking that, you know what, Ross has gotten a pass on a lot of that usually if a rapper was exposed like that, they would be out of the game already.
Just several things. It doesn't even end. It's just like we know we've let him slide based on the fact that we understand it's a business and we enjoy the music. I mean, let's just say what it is. But it comes to a time where we're like, wait a minute, you know, you've gone too far. And, you know, you saying that is definitely that just gives an example, not you saying it, but, you know, what just happened is a prime example. And then at first he was kind of like, I apologize and that's it and I ain't apologizing no more. But then, you know, when the money was getting affected, then he started, you know, caring a little bit more. So I'm like, okay, see, you know, now you see it's affecting the pocket. So you ready to, now you willing to be a little bit more apologetic than before. So it was off the chain. I mean, he just, like I said, he presses it too much, so. But,
Yeah, I do not agree with anything that was said on that line.
Right.
Or lines. I would never even think about slipping anything in a woman's drink. First of all, I'm not the type of guy to try to fuck any comatose pussy at all. Like, you have to be moving and active and be in it and engaging in it with me, I can't just be ramming somebody that's laying there unconscious. So that was weird to me anyway.
Silly.
Like,
I know.
I've always thought that people that try to slip people some shit, they're weird any fucking way.
No, it is. I mean, who, what is he, come on, Ross. I mean, you were bald, but now you.
What excitement do you get from that?
Yeah.
But, that's just me. That's just me. And, you know, I guess, you know, then we've heard about date rape drugs and all that crazy shit. But, you know, that's always been weird to me. Never was a dude that even understood the concept of rape. Like, I don't want to be getting kicked in the face or punched while I'm trying to have sex with somebody because they're trying to fight me off.
I mean, it's just off the chain.
It's always been weird to me. So when I heard the lyric, I was just like, you know, I know there's people out there that's down with that type of shit, but it's just weird to me that you would want to have sex with somebody that's laying there damn near dead.
He was off the chain, period, or out of line for even going there. And like I said, he just gets away with a lot, and he thought we was going to let this one slide. And everybody was like, no, I'm not rocking with that. So that's pretty much what happened. He got shut down. Now his money's getting shut down. And, you know, it won't stop the empire, but it definitely did hurt. You know, Wale's
got something coming out.
They
got some strong.
Yeah, they got too much going on.
They got strong music out of that camp. I get in my car, and there's Ross all in my car. And it's been years since he came out. So I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm not a Ross fan. I just actually think that you're right. Ross has gotten away with shit that a regular rapper wouldn't have survived, I think, because of the strength of his movement. Lying about the CO thing,
he's been on the train.
I got a cop in the car, but getting your car shot up on the street, and not shooting back, you know, just
being
just,
a
you know, how 50 Cent did your baby mother. Took her out shopping, had your kids out there, and all types of shit. You know, like, it's just certain things that the Teflon Don title that he named his last album, like two albums before, that was perfect for him because he is damn near bulletproof when it comes to taking shots at Ross, because anybody else, man,
it's not about
just
to go
imagine
down.
The scrutiny that somebody would get if they're fucking in a CO uniform shaking somebody's hand after they claim that they're one of the biggest dealers out of South Florida. And, you know, I mean, he got songs that say I'm rich off cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not one Miami.
And not one case.
One Miami, like, super gangster hood drug dealer or anybody that's ever vouched and said Ross was out here on these streets. Ross was out here on these streets. Like, you know, if Jay-Z, niggas will tell you Jay was out here. I've seen so many interviews, the OG Wands, the niggas out in what was the other state that, Virginia, people that's like, yo, shit, Jay had it. I'm you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm,
like, there has been nobody that has said, nah, Ross was out here with it.
Exactly.
And he
it's not
still
a...
can just do that selling, killing music, and it just goes over.
With no conviction whatsoever.
No conviction.
It took
somebody's
name,
it's just like, hey,
all of
here
that.
It goes.
That's what I said. He's been doing.
Tale about bricks. Here it go. Another one. I
and
mean,
I'll
even the song we just played,
and I go,
Major Distribution with 50, he has Gunplay's chain on a baby in that video from the actual beatdown they gave Gunplay at the award show last year. His chain is still 50 has a video of himself bowling with the chain on. It doesn't stop. And it just doesn't faze Ross at all. He doesn't get fazed. So Shout out to Ross for being the Teflon Don for real, because I don't know how many niggas could fucking go through that shit and just still be, like, on top like that.
No, he can't. He knew what he was doing. He built that empire up, and, you know, like I said, Ross just gets away, but we didn't let this one slide. So shout out to everybody that didn't let it slide. raised chaos and said, hold up, I was riding with it until he said that. So shout out to you guys for being aware. And then what you really need to do is be aware for the next guest that's coming on right now, because she is rising and coming from Nashville, has been doing her thing. I saw her live and in performance, and that's one of the most amazing things when you can actually be there and see it for yourself. So I believe in her, and I'm excited about her coming on the show. She won the Southern Entertainment Awards Artist Showcase. There were a couple of acts that came on, quite a few, and she won that whole thing, so dope. And I'm going to play her single right now, Star Murphy. It's I Get It featuring Star Lito. She's coming up next on G14 Radio The Cut.
I don't wanna lose you.
already. I love it. I love that joint, that Star Murphy, I Get It featuring Star Lito, and we have her live on the line with us tonight. How are you, Star Murphy?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. Do you want me to call you Star? Or how do I? I don't know if you want me to say. How are you most addressed?
It's fine. Everybody calls me Star. It really doesn't matter. I mean, my fans know me, my Star. Of course, family know me, my Courtney. So, yeah, Star is good.
Okay. And then also, I have the other host on the line. I know he wants to greet you as well before we get into the 101 real quick.
Most definitely. Let me just say, first of all, if you sang that song to the guy who thought they were leaving, they ain't going nowhere after that. That song right there.
Hello?
They ain't leaving after they hear that song. Put that brother to stay. So shout out to that vocal on that song. Loving the singing. It was real hot. So at the SA Awards to see her perform live, but just for that song, it was real dope. And I'm looking forward to the interview. Very happy that you're on the show.
Thank you, and I'm very excited to be here as well. Thank you so much.
Okay, alrighty. Well, thank you for being patient. She actually had an opportunity to tune into Dave House on the line, so I thought that was pretty dope. An artist supporting, you know, the other guests on the show. I loved it. I love that. So shout out to you. I want to get a little bit in your business, not too crazy, but I see that you're from Nashville, and I wanted to know, were you born and raised there, or, you know, where, if not, where you were from originally?
Yes, ma'am. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, born and raised. I still reside in Nashville, Tennessee. Of course, I do a lot of traveling, but Nashville is still my home, so yes.
Okay, Nashville, Tennessee, on the line, Cashville.
Cashville, Tennessee.
So I actually read that you began singing at the age of 7, and I always like to get into that whole how did you get here and how did you begin in the music industry. So I wanted to know, since you started at the age 7, were you influenced by your upbringing? Was it music in the household at the time?
Well, it was more so, my mama kind of always sang around the house when I was young. Of course, my granddaddy, he was a minister and he sang in a choir. But it was more so me discovering my voice. Actually, one of my cousins, because we would sing all the time. And she would always say, you could sing so much. But I didn't realize that. I mean, I knew I loved to sing and I knew I was inspired by different artists such as Janet Jackson. I absolutely adore her, Toni Braxton. But it was actually Whitney Houston, of course, at that time. But we would always sing, and one day she was just like, you can sing real good. So I think I was in the 5th grade, and our music teacher had told us we were going to do a Broadway show, and she wanted certain people to audition for parts. And I auditioned, and I got a solo part, and I sang, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. And from that day on, my family pretty much knew I could sing, so it wasn't just me singing around the house. They were telling me to shut up. So it was pretty cool.
Absolutely. That you got the confirmation, the validation from the audience, and that's always dope when, you know, people are rocking with it and they enjoyed you. That's amazing. So that's interesting to know that your mother was singing around the house and just kind of did it here and there, and then you picked it up and said, hey, I can run with this also. And you said Toni Braxton and Whitney Houston influenced you musically. Where does your stage name originate from? You said your name is Courtney Murphy.
Yes.
How did it start coming about? Is that a childhood nickname?
Well, it kind of started, like I said, once I sang that solo song, and from then on, every talent show, I mean, anything that ever came up, but I never really sang in a church choir, but I always sang in, like, school choirs, so any talent show or anything that came up, I was always being a part auditioning, so everybody, for some reason, would always call me a superstar, and I'm thinking maybe because they saw the pop star in me. Like I said, it wasn't me, per se, singing in a choir, it was me looking up to celebrities or people on TV. So I guess people kind of saw that in me. So everybody called me a superstar. And my line name, my senior in high school, was Superstar. I was in a music sorority called Women of Virtue. And it's like when I got in college, I don't even remember really. I just, it's like I woke up and people, of course, we dropped the super part because that's very cheesy. Like, okay, Superstar Mercy. Yeah. So, but it seemed like out of nowhere, I was just like star. I don't even really remember. And I mean, I think this was even before I actually just got full blown into singing. So, to be honest, I think it just kind of carried on. I don't even remember.
Okay, okay. Well, I love that. I love the concept. I still love the story behind that, and that's also interesting to me. What we always talk about here is a name that stands out, and when I Google Star Murphy, I get Star Murphy. I don't get anybody else, and that's amazing, and it's just great for marketing. And then also, I just get a have a lot of people tuning in and tweeting, and it might be my line, it might be yours. I think we have a little bit of static going on. So I just want to make sure that we both clear before proceeding. Got to get the board going. You blowing the board up. Anytime we hear some static, that's when you know it's a lot of people tuning in. So
I love it. Like, that's what's up.
The feedback.
And yes, the ma'am. I mean.
Okay, let me see here. Okay, I hope that we are clear and good to go. Okay, and so that's got your stage name, Star Murphy. Attended college. What did you go to college for?
I was actually I started off a music major, a vocal commercial music major, but I ended up graduating in psychology and communication. Music has always pretty much been my first passion, but I'm kind of into different things as well. Graduating, like I said, with a psychology degree, but I mean,
wow.
Has always been my blood even through college. So,
yes, that's impressive. I love that. Shout out to you for getting that degree and getting that education. That's what's up. And so, you're welcome. You're welcome. I see you also had started pretty much off into, even though you know music was your first love and you have been performing in the theaters and whatnot, when it came to the underground scene and breaking out into this independent market, I see that you started with the club promotions. How did you kind of get into that?
Yes, actually, me and my manager now, we met in college, and we kind of had a lot of things in common, and I was always kind of in, not so much in the club scene, but more so coordinating because of like, the events and things I was seeing. And I kind of was, I don't know, just kind of like looking behind the scenes. And I was like, I can do that, especially in college, to kind of get some extra money. And, of course, like I said, once we started A-List Entertainment, it would be like different parties and things we would throw or different events. And, of course, once I really got into singing heavily, like, and this is right before I graduated from college, that was like another avenue to get myself out there. So at the same time as I was transitioning from me being Star Murphy, the promoter and marketer for A-List Entertainment, I was slowly transitioning just to Star Murphy to singer. So, of course, a lot of people can associate with me, of course, on the college campus with A-List Entertainment. But now, I mean, they still associate me with that, of course, but it's just more so on the, you know, my singing background more so now, so.
Absolutely. The singing's on the forefront. Well, that's really dope, and it's almost like you have a extra support system there with the, you know, with you have already gone into the club promotions and promoting and putting in that work, so. Anytime an artist has put in that groundwork and that hustle and grind, it's just a plus and an extra on top of everything else, on top of the good vocals, on top of the dope tracks. So, you know, much respect to you. And so what was so in that case, in the process of transitioning to the artist, it wasn't hard. It was just more so introducing yourself to everyone and to get a fan base. What do you think it is about you that keeps everyone engaged and kind of saying, you know, okay, this girl's got something, you know, for me to come to you and say, hey, let's get an interview going. Like, what do you think it is about you and your performance that, you know, drives people to you?
I think, I don't know, I don't want to say a familiar face, of course. I may not be familiar to people that's never seen me, but I don't think I overindulge in one side. I guess I'm kind of like the middle girl. A lot of people, especially when they meet me, it's kind of like they feel like they already I already know who I was or something. I'm mm-hmm. just feel like I'm kind of like, I don't try to put on a certain image. I'm who I mm-hmm. am, you know what I mean? And a lot mm-hmm. of people relate to a person who, they don't have to do all of these crazy gimmicks and things like that to be an artist. I mean, I'm an artist, and I love the arts, and I love to sing, and I want people to know me, you know, for singing. I love looking sexy, you know what I mean? I love mm-hmm. all of this about artistry, but I don't feel like I have to, and this is not, you know, knocking anything, or, you know, art is art, but I kind of feel like it's, people can relate to me. I don't know.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing it's pretty.
No, that was dope. That was dope. People person, and then just like you said, not putting on a facade, stepping out there, being who you are and being comfortable and confident with it, and that does translate often to when you're performing and whatnot. I love the fact that you have your dancers and everyone was in sync. I said, this is what you do. When you step
yeah.
out, you step out. So it was just such a pleasure to see that. And also, everyone that's listening to, and checked in, tuned in with us tonight, you have to head to starmurphy.com. She dropped the official video to Familiar, and it was so dope, and I don't want to give it away. So, but it's so dope, and I just want to commend you for you and your team and staff and everyone that had a part of that, because it was definitely different but familiar. So I want everyone to go check out this video and then comment and all of that, like, and all of that good stuff on the YouTube. So, yes, I loved it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're writing. You write yourself. Do you write all of your records? If so, what is that process like for you? Oh, I hope you didn't lose her. You still there? We might have lost you. Static. Oh, yeah, we lost her. We lost her, but she's going to come back in a second here. Golden, you're still on the line, right?
Yep, still
I
here.
I know, I'm always like, hey, Golden.
yeah, I thought there was some static going on in there.
Yeah. And then she dropped, so that's sometimes, that, you know, it'd be like that, especially with, you know, we all in different states and whatnot. But I'm pretty sure she'll be calling back in shortly. But like I said, everyone, check out that video. Her music is really dope. I love the record that we played tonight with the Texas element in it. And actually, I'm going to bring her on right now. Star Murphy, back on the line with us, back like she never left. All right, I'm sorry. I don't know if our system drops you or what. But picking up where we left off real quick, you write your music. So what is that process like for you? I think we're having bad reception, really, really bad reception. So what I want to do is take a quick break and play the record again for those who missed it. This is a single because I do want to get it on and get a couple more questions in. Star Murphy, I Get It, featuring Star Lito. Get her back on the line and ready to go for you guys. G14 Ready to Cut via global14.com, Jermaine Dupri's social networking site. Make sure you do head over there. Check it out at global14 at G14 Radio. Back with the interview with Star Murphy.
I want you to see. I need it all. I need it all. I don't want no phone, 'cause I know I'm. between leaving you and pulling up and seeing you. I think about how we've been through, still cannot believe we through. You don't wanna lose me, it sound good, well act like it. Valentine's around the corner, you trying to get back the wife. Your side hoes mean nothing to me, they where they supposed to be, on the sideline. I'm tired of the line, don't be sorry, be careful. I guess you second guess yourself. When you left, it wasn't nothing special. Sometimes I regret that I missed you. Sometimes I wanna meet up, not say a word, just undress you. Turn to something sexual, you know, make love, start make up, make love, take two and make one. And that's normally the part why I wake up. I'm down, lay it off, lay it off.
G14 Radio Cut back and live on the cut, waiting on to get Mr. Murphy back on the line so we can continue the interview. Looks like we have a lot of calls getting dropped, and I'm not sure what is the deal. It's been a minute since Blog Talk been tripping. Hey, sometimes it be like that. But it doesn't matter. It's all good. We're going to get her back on the line, and I'm excited to finish the interview. You guys, definitely, while we're waiting and while we're on standby, again, Global 14 Radio The Cut via Jermaine, the pre-social networking site at Global 14 at G14 Radio. Make sure you do check it out and follow us on Twitter at Onyx254 and at The Glue. Let me see. Earlier we talked about the Rick Ross and the drink line. We talked about a little bit into LL Cool J, but we did not get a chance to go fully in on it. And we will be going fully in on the LL Cool J topic coming up shortly. So I want you guys to stay tuned and kick it with us. It's all good. And that's what we're going to work on. We're going to work on getting our interview back on the line. And hopefully we won't have to reschedule. So we'll see what we need to do to get that rolling. In the meantime, I do want to bring on co-host. Oh, why are you saying that? Co-host. Host, Golden Fleece. What's good on it?
Yo, man, the technical difficulties, man.
Yes. It's crazy,
I don't know what's going on tonight. It's a little bit crazy, but where we at? I even got dropped off.
I know. It's crazy. I don't know what is going on, what the deal is, but we're going to make something happen, that's for sure. We left off pretty much trying to get Storm Murphy back on the line. It looks like Blog Talk is hanging up on people and not letting people call in, so you know we got to get that credit on the account. They messing up the show. I'm not happy.
Indeed. I even hear two of you. Every time
right.
you talk, there's like a huge echo.
Right. And anytime. Yeah, something's definitely going on. I think I do have Star Murphy back on the line. I hope so. Star Murphy, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
I want to apologize to you. I don't know what the deal is. Even the host got kicked off. Yo. Everybody's getting, yeah, we're not feeling this at all, but we kept the people entertained, and I did go ahead and I played your Star Murphy. I keep seeing every Star Murphy. I played I Get It featuring Starlito, and I want you to also send me over when we can the familiar track, if you don't mind, because I really enjoy that one as well. Gosh, I wish I could play that for you guys, but hey, you might have to go purchase it, or most importantly, go to starmurphy.com and check out her music video, because I promise you, and fellas, you will love it as well. She's very beautiful. Gets herself together, you know, so it is what it is, right? You're welcome. I was asking you about the writing process. I finally get to ask you your writing process and what that and what it's like, because I know that you do write your music. So do you have anything that you do to kind of get you zoned out before you write your records?
Well, I prefer, of course, I do a lot of writing sessions, especially I do probably most of when I'm writing with somebody, especially my producer, a really talented producer writer, I imagine named Rio. Me and him write actually a lot of my tracks and things together. But as far as my what I do before I write a song, if I'm not writing with him per se, like the studio, I kind of like to be on my own in a quiet place.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of my ideas and things come from, of course, not only my own situations, but like close friends and family. I don't know. I just kind of learn from, if it's not myself, I kind of learn from different people. So a lot of my songs, you can tell that it's pretty much, like I said, my own situation, you know, people close to me. So.
Dope. And so then you have also, I mentioned earlier, you have 4 background dancers. Beautiful girls as well, you know, on NSYNC. I was happy to see that. what goes into that aspect, getting all the girls together, getting the makeup, the outfits, like, it just seems so together. But any behind the scenes you can share with us? I know that you guys, of course, rehearsed. Anything special goes into preparing for that performance with all of those girls?
Oh, my gosh, a lot. I mean, it's one thing for me, and taking me forever to get myself together. But when you got 4 background dancers, and, I mean, with my girls, I want to make sure, of course, their makeup is on point, just like mine. The outfits coordinate with mine. Of course, practice. And I mean, it's a lot. I mean, like I said, it's 5 women, and we're all trying to, you know, complete a common goal. So, I mean, you may get a whole lot of people maybe upset about certain outfits, or certain people want to wear certain things, because I let them have a hand in that. Of course, I have a stylist, but we always ask the dancers to get their ideas, of course, because it's all an art, you know what I mean? And I like to let everybody kind of chip in and give their ideas. So, I mean, it can be a wild day trying to figure out what, you know, we're going to do in the actual show day. So, but I enjoy it.
Yes. Well, I love that. And do they get to travel with you out of state to some couple of the, or out of state or out of town, rather, to any of the performances that you have lined up?
Yes, the good thing is about having 4 background dancers is the people that possibly can't go for a certain event and perform. Of course, they may have 2 other dancers that can. So it just depends on the actual event. Some events may not entail my dancers, some of the more intimate events and things like that. But for the most part, I mean, whoever wants to go can go. That's pretty much just up to them, you know. So.
No, I loved it, and I love how you're a team player with it, even though, you know, you are the artist. You say, hey, girls, you know, and y'all, you and your stylist, and that's awesome, too. You have a stylist. You are doing your thing. I mean, this is these are the things that we love to hear when we hear of an independent artist that's dropping a mixtape. You know, there's a reason to all of what you're doing. You have a stylist. You have the dancers. You're performing. You have the records. You have the video, the look. You're getting it all together. And we love to have people such as yourself come on the show, because it shows other indie artists. These are the type of things that labels look for. These are the things that distribution companies would be interested in being a part of, you know, when it comes to whose project is on top and who's not. So, or who's, you know, gonna do numbers. And so I just, you know, much respect to you for having that, and you and your management and your team at hand. You guys are doing a wonderful job, so we support you all the way with everything that you have coming up. You're welcome. And so also, I definitely have to ask you, being a woman as well, you're a woman in the industry, do you feel that it's tougher for you entering in this business versus a man?
I would say, I mean, the industry, of course, for anybody that has indulged or stepped their foot in a little bit, you can tell that it is a male-dominated industry. I wouldn't say it's harder. I mean, it's a hard work or a challenging person just like a female getting just like a guy. But, I mean, you do have to be careful. And I do think there are double standards and things like that. But then, of course, not just the industry, but specifically the industry. You just got to be careful. You just got to be grounded. I mean, I've experienced or witnessed certain things by me being a female in, like I said, a male-dominated industry. But, I mean, you just have to know what you win for and work hard and do what you got to do and know what you really won't do. That's what I say.
Absolutely. I, I love what you said about being grounded. You do have to have your head on your shoulders and kind of know and have some direction. So amazing advice. So all you women out there wanting to enter the industry, if you actually want to have some longevity with it, well, I don't know if I can even say that, but just a little bit of word of advice if you want to get through the door and be on another note. I do know that it is a, you know, some double standards, but not as many, not too much that you can't handle. And being in this industry, you have to have tough skin anyway, and that's one thing everybody needs to get used to, you know? So, yes, much respect, much respect. So tell us about the current mixtape out, A Trip to Egypt, that title. How did that come about? Yeah. I love it.
Thank you. Trip to Egypt. Everybody's like, oh, when are you going to Egypt? How was your trip? I'm like, well, you can go on a trip with me. But it's funny because Trip to Egypt is actually like my getaway. A lot of people, especially close family and friends and things like that, I kind of like meditate. And it's kind of, I guess you could say, my own little ritual when it comes to especially dealing with my own problems. Not just music, but just life. And it's not even anything bad, but Trip to Egypt is, like I said, it's kind of like my getaway. Whenever I'm kind of a realist, so whenever I think about what's going on, I have to be real with myself. And I like alone time. I'm not really a loner, but I like alone time. And Trip to Egypt just kind of fits. Like I said, it's my getaway. It's somewhere far. I've never been to Egypt, actually, but it's, like I said, it's just kind of like my getaway. So all of those songs, I mean, I have fun tracks, club tracks. I have some R&B. I have a few pop tracks. I have hip-hop tracks. And they just kind of like tell different stories. So, I mean, I think everybody can relate to them. So.
I love that, and that's the kind of feel I got from it. The design and the pictures and everything, it did feel like an escape and something new and different that I could kind of get lost in myself. So pretty dope, and I have your mixtape, and I can't wait to play it because I haven't been able to play it in full. I haven't sat down anywhere. So I'm really excited to do that.
I would love for you to play it in full.
Oh, my gosh. You better believe I am. I promise you. I have three that I'm going to play in full, and I have a feeling that yours is going to be on repeat quite a few times in the gym and other places. I'm going to be trying to get right. I'm going to try to remember the dances that y'all do and all of that and just try to get back right. I want to bring the host back on before we let you go this evening, and I know that he may have a question or two, but I definitely want to thank you for hanging in there with us. I mean, it was all good. You didn't get kicked off or anything, and then all of a sudden, here we go. So, but it is recorded, and, girl, we can edit. We can do whatever we need to do. So let us know if you would like to have that done. We'll make sure that happens. Golden, I know you're on the line, homie, as well, so bring you on.
Oh, man, yes, yes. Our apologies for the technical difficulties. Sometimes we can't control the internet, you know what I'm saying? You got a mind of its own in there, you know what I'm saying? But we try to make it work as best we can. Just enjoyed the interview, always enjoying, especially when I hear that people have stage shows, like when Onyx said, oh, she had the dances, and I was like, yes, you know, because so many people, hey, here's a pretty girl. She could sing, introducing so-and-so. But, you know, the ones that, you know, really, I guess, inspire me when I look at a stage show is the ones that I know went through the practice of getting their choreography right, getting their breath control right because they're dancing while they're singing. That's how you know, like, okay, they're serious about what they're doing up here. And I always love to see that stuff. So I wish I could have been there, but in the near future, when you perform, if I'm in town, I'm definitely coming to check it out because Onyx said it was awesome. So kudos to you for, you know, just putting stage shows together. I think sometimes that's like a lost art, you know?
I mean, you have to. I mean, it's so competitive. I mean, every time you turn around, there's a new singer, a new, you know, rapper. I mean, if you want to be taken serious, especially your industry that's changing so much, I mean, you can't just, and I mean, like I said, not knocking people that just kind of like go on stage and sing because some of my more intimate performances are just me. But I mean, you have to be creative. I mean, you have to stand out. So, you know.
Yeah, most definitely. And you definitely don't want to come across like I was knocking that, but having versatile repertoire, you know what I'm saying? Like you come out with dances, you come out, but you're putting together an experience for people. I think, like you said, people are coming out so often now. It's just like, hey, you got talent? Let me just go up here and show somebody. But it takes an artist to know that, listen, I have a whole repertoire that you guys are going to see, and that's way, you know, those are the memorable performances for me. So I pretty much love to see performances like that. And that actually leads into the question that I do have. Is there a specific signature sound or a signature anything that when you get Star Murphy, this is what you're going to get that's different than this person?
A signature sound. I don't know. I like using my higher range when I'm singing just as much as, or my lower range just as much as I like to use my higher range.
Okay.
And I guess it kind of comes with my inspiration from my Toni Braxton and sometimes even Janet, but more so Toni Braxton. I guess that's kind of what it is. And like I said, it's just because I like to write or because I write my own music, it's not just the same. I mean, it's kind of hard to bunch me in just one genre, because if you listen to my trip to Egypt, then you will see that I got some pop and I got some club. So by listening to this one album or mixtape, you can hear a variety. You can hear my voice doing different things. You know what I mean? I mean, some of my fun where it doesn't take much effort. I mean, it is what it is. And then you have some of my tracks where you can see that I had to get in there and I had to get it right, and lots of hot tea and lemon and a lot of sleep,
because,
you know, I mean, this
most
is a record
doubt.
That I gotta showcase my voice. So, yeah,
that's dope. No, that's hot.
I love getting the background on it.
Nah, definitely, man. I'm can't wait to listen to the whole project. And yeah, that's dope, man. Because a lot of artists out here, you know, they don't explore the ranges and, you know, how songs come across to people. I remember sitting in a session with a singer one time, and I found it fascinating that the producer was in there trying to make the lead line. He was reading a book about sound and how that particular range resonates to a percentage of people. And I was like, well, damn, y'all get that deep into it? And I had never saw that done. But, you know, I took that from that producer, and I was like, you know what, I've never seen that done. And I started reading about it, and I guess there is a range that is pleasing to people's ears on certain songs and different things like that. So I started listening to singers' ranges and trying to see which one I like the most. And I love, like, when, I guess, Toni Braxton will go into her range, and I'm like, yeah, there's not too many people that could do that like Toni Braxton. So I guess that might be a signature of hers. Then you got Mariah Carey that'll come up so high. You love it when she does it, but not everybody could do it, Mariah Carey. So it's dope to see that you take a, you know, conscious thought into ranges and everything like that, because I think that plays a big role in, you know, how people like the versatility of an artist. So always good to see a singer with versatility. It just is enthusiastic to me, because I was a musician and I'm a producer and I manage producers, that there are people out there that are still trying to give somebody authentic music in a day and age where you could just two-track a beat, somebody go in there, sing, and then somebody's ready to deliver that. You know what I'm saying? I just like the fact that it's not like that with some new artists that we're having here on the show. So props to you for that.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, I have to, especially being a new, well, not so much new, but an independent artist, a singer. You know, a lot of people want to automatically bunch, and I don't want to say it's the way it is across the board, but, you know, we got a lot of fad music. So, of course, me coming out, I don't want to be known as a fad singer or, you know, trying to copy off of another singer or another hip-hop artist or pop artist. I mean, I like a lot of old school. You know, I'm a 80s baby. I grew up in the 90s, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I love your Janet. I love your Mariah Careys and your Whitney Houstons and things like that. So, I mean, I don't want to be them. I'm inspired by them. So, you know, I like to keep the old and, you know, have and keep the new. So, you know, it's just a variety.
Well, shout out to you for that, man. And we'll be looking forward to everything that Star Murphy has going on. And like Onyx said, I just want to piggyback on that. Love the name, just because, you know, Star Murphy, that's a unique name. And I think that it's going to roll off a lot of people's tongues when they start hearing it. It actually sounded like when she first told me, and I didn't know anything about it, I thought it might have been a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Star Murphy, who's this cat? You know what I'm saying? She's a female singer. I was like, oh, that's what's up. That's a hot name. You know what I'm saying? So even though it's put on the singer, makes it even hotter, especially a female singer. But I just can't wait to see the rise. She told me there was a lot of great things going on with you and your camp. And coming out of Nashville, I mean, how many singers we got coming out of Nashville, Tennessee right now? You know, Young Buck, of course, was a rapper that he kept chanting Cashville. But who recently did we have that came out of Nashville? Was there anybody?
Well, out of Nashville, I know Cam Chemistry. Of course, he's not recent, but he lived in Nashville. But we have a lot of amazing and talented artists and singers here in Nashville. That's more so, of course, on independent. We have, of course, my producer, Rio. He's an amazing, amazing singer-songwriter. I'm really good friends with a girl named Robin Raynell. She's an amazing artist. She's done a few things and hooked some things for, like, Buck and different up-and-coming hip-hop artists here in Nashville. Yes, a good amount of amazing artists here in Nashville. I think everybody get confused because, you know, Nashville is the home of country music, but it's not just country, you know what I mean?
I know,
I mean, it's
right.
Hip-hop and R&B coming up out of here.
Now, you know, I was in Nashville for a production battle thrown by a girl named Coco. I don't know if you're familiar with Coco, but she throws these production battles out in Nashville. And when I went out there, I met some amazing artists out there. One singer guy named Lociel, he has great music out of Nashville, and he introduced us to a bunch of different people that were super talented out of Nashville. I want to say, was Lala Jones from Nashville, if I'm not mistaken? Or was she from Tennessee? Do you know who Lala Jones is?
Lala
Brown. I'm sorry about that. Was she from
Lala Brown? Sounds familiar. I'd have to check on that myself.
You know what? I'll check on that. I thought that she might have been from Nashville, but she probably wasn't. I thought it was from Tennessee, but she was an excellent singer out of Tennessee, but I thought she was for some reason. But no, when I went out in Nashville, I definitely saw a lot of dope artists out of there. So shout out to Nashville, and can you tell us whether you'll be going out of town? Will you be anywhere else soon performing? Maybe the audience is listening. They might be in the city that you're going to.
Yes, I'm still trying to put together the details, but I actually be back in Atlanta on the 20th. Performing live with the band. It's actually Kim's band I actually be performing with, but I'm still getting the details. And I was actually in Atlanta about a month ago. I opened up for Chico DeBarge. So I'm...
Nice.
Yeah, that was huge. Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty amazing experience. But yeah, I'll be in Vegas in about 2 weeks for actually the Core DJ Retreat. I'm not going to be performing per se, but I'll be doing a lot of networking and marketing and things like that there. But I normally keep my show updates on my website. So anything that I'm doing, you can normally go to my website.
Nice.
But don't hold me to it. If it's not updated, don't hold me to it. I keep it updated. I want it right here. So I'm going to
be like, you know. You're like, Sean, you said you could be in Atlanta. I flew out to Atlanta. You don't need
to. Yeah, don't kill me. But, yes, I normally try to keep it updated. Of course, you can, you know, follow my Twitter and Instagram, and I'm always letting you guys know where I'm going to be. But, yeah, I mean, if somebody give me a call tonight and say, can you be there tomorrow, I mean, that's pretty much how I go. So, I mean, it's nothing for me to get where I got to go and perform.
I know
that sounds good. And one more question I have for you. Do you write with other producers in order to try to sell music? Have you like taking other tracks and pinning a record to try to see if somebody else would want to take it and sing it?
No, I have before. Mm-hmm. As far as the outcome, probably wasn't so great, but that's one of the things that I'm definitely doing or looking into doing right now, especially since I'm in between. I just dropped a project. So I have a little bit of playroom before I start, you know, really getting into my album. But that's definitely something that I've been into or into doing, like, as of now. Like I said, I've done
okay,
a thing
nice.
With my producer, and he's pitched some of the things that I've sang on to help write with or write on. But, yeah, definitely that's something that I'm looking forward to doing as well, so.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, the reason I have a production company, and we got a few credits under the belt, and somebody just called us asking for some R&B music, you know, for singers. So I just wanted to know, maybe, you know, shoot you something, and if you did have some time, you know, never know, somebody might purchase something. And, you know,
of course.
The credit notch on the belt, you know, get some writing under the... on the resume.
Yeah, of course, I'm down. You know, just hit me up. I mean, I even have songs of my own that I've actually written and recorded that I didn't actually release, because sometimes being a writer, of course, you tend to put somebody else in your mind. So I wrote a few songs that wasn't necessarily my style, but
mm-hmm.
I haven't. But I haven't actually pitched songs to anybody yet. But of course, so yeah, just hit me up. You know how to get in touch with me.
Cool. You know how to get in touch with me, folks.
Already, everybody that's listening in, shout out to Star Murphy, doing it all, traveling, networking, performing, writing, getting the placements in as well, dropping mixtape projects, doing videos, having dances, pretty much all the works. And everybody, I need you to follow suit and get familiar as well. At Star Murphy is where you can find her, and we are going to be keeping up with you as well. We want to thank you for hanging with us again. We really appreciate it. It's been a pleasure, and like I said, I definitely enjoyed your performance, love the music, and I look forward to further networking with you, and just thank you so much. We appreciate you.
No, thank
yeah,
you so
awesome.
Much for having me. I really enjoyed it. You know, anytime you need me, you know how to get in touch with me. Thank you to all your listeners for listening and giving me a chance. I know how it is listening to a new artist. Who is she? You know what I mean?
Nah, this is exactly what we need. All right,
yes.
We need people to hear the new artist, because when you're
of
a
course.
New artist, that is definitely when you should say, and ask questions like, what are you going through? What's the process like? Because I think a lot of people, like you and Dave, were saying they have kind of a skewed view of the music industry. And
mm-hmm.
for people that are working and actually having success in it, they need to talk to those people. So, again, kudos for coming on the show. We really appreciate that. And I know that the audience does, too.
No, thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
Thank you, and again, we look forward to having you back. Everybody go to starmurphy.com and make sure that you follow her social network at Star Murphy, and that's a wrap on that interview, and we thank her so much for coming by. It was a quick little transition that we had to make happen, but I'm so happy and excited that we had we're able to finish the interview, and just look forward to everything coming up. I got her music golden, so I want to definitely put it in the queue so we can rock to that in the next upcoming shows. Yeah, so
man, I just got so flustered at the end because I'm hearing things in my phone. Like, it's crazy, man. I'm hearing little whistles and echoes, and so pardon me if. No, I sounded like I was tripping over my words and shit like that. I'm hearing jungle sounds in my phone. Ball talk. You got some explaining to do, for real.
Seriously, no, I'm feeling the same way on this, and I'm like, wait a minute. And you got to imagine, I'm tweeting, I'm texting, not engaged, you know, engaging with the show and the people that are listening. So I'm just like, wait a minute. And the same thing is happening on my end. I'm hearing, you know, all kind of stuff. And I know it's not my background and your background or hers. So, all right, boss, I got you. You tripping. Well, definitely want to shout out everybody that tuned in tonight and hung with us. This is recording, and we look forward to the next Wednesday, right?
Yeah, next Wednesday we back at it. And, yeah, this a wrap for tonight.
It's a wrap. Shout out to both Batos, LD staff holding it down on the board, and everybody tuned in again
at
Global 14 at G14 Radio. Follow, and that's what's up.
One love to everybody out there on this hump day. Have a great rest of the week and the weekend, you know, and we'll see y'all next week.
Most definitely.
Yeah, Young Main, 35 riders, let's go.
That's why I run, will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost,
yeah,
hey, 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 can we get some more, can't be broke.
That's why I run,
I ain't never had shit, came from nothing, just blessing, now I'm shining, and I'm running like it's nuts.
Why I run, I hustle hard in the sun, rain, sleep, snow, I grind when it's jumping, even when the street's slow. Young Main, that's the name that the streets know. I'm pushing X, wet, pills, crack, weed, blow. Monday to Sunday, not a day off. One day, all this hard work gon' pay off. I gotta get it, I'm on it soon as I wake up. Block hot, so I'm pumping it out of trailer. All the trash, we keep pissing off the neighbors. But fuck the laws, cause right now I need this paper. My rent late, my lights off, no water. My shoes old, my clothes dirty, no quarters. My car broke, I gotta walk, plus gas high. In the world, wanna ask why. I ain't got shit, nigga, that's why. That's why I'm motherfucking.
That's why. Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
money ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Get me blessed. Now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nuts.
That's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
money ain't going get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing. Get me blessed. Now I'm shining. I'm running like it's nuts.
Why? Remember back when I ain't have no money. Now I walk inside the mall and just blow money. We used to hit the club broke, man, with nothing on us. Now we known and get love from the club owners. She was in love with me, or I guess I thought she was. Thought she was bad, but wasn't bad as I thought she was. Welcome to Main's world, where every day's Friday. Menage days with bitches that resemble Beyonce. Used to smoke dirt weed, now it's Kush only. Grind hard, hustle hard, push, homie. Back then, I ain't have a ride to the store. Okay, it's cool, cause now my ride on 84. I had nothing, so I jumped up in the crack game. Kept hustling, and I jumped up in the rap game. Young Main can't stop, won't stop, did it. Ask about me, they'll tell you who won the city.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
money ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining, running like it's nuts.
That's why.
Will I ever stop? No, I'm a ghost.
Yeah,
money ain't gonna get some more. Can't be broke.
That's why.
I ain't never had shit. Came from nothing, kept hustling, now I'm shining, running like it's nuts.
Why? I'm a motherfucking hustler for real, homie. I get it on the block, on the highway, on probation, on parole, fresh out. I don't give a fuck. I gotta get it, know what I'm saying? If you broke, struggling, you ain't got shit. Hustle, legal or illegal, we gon' get it, man. All my female hustlers getting on their own. Hustle, hustle, hustle.